Well, let me flip to the right page of the lectionary. There it is. In the name of Jesus. St. Paul, the apostle, wrote those words that we just heard. Something like, 1900, 700, and 700, excuse me. Anyway, he wrote them a long time ago. I didn't do the math first. Boy, what an idiot I am. But he wrote them to the church in Corinth. This was actually his third letter to the church in Corinth. The second letter he wrote has gotten lost, but he refers to it in 2 Corinthians. And as you probably remember, the church in Corinth was plagued by division, by theological misunderstandings, by pride. Some pledged their allegiance to Paul, some to Apollos, some to Simon Peter. But Paul told them quite plainly, hey, don't worry about me. Don't worry about those other guys. You belong to Christ. I, Paul, didn't die for you. Peter didn't die for you. Apollos didn't die for you. Christ died for you. And he's the one to whom you need to be focusing, upon whom you need to be focusing. It's like we sang in Psalm 141, but my eyes are turned to you, O Lord. In you I take refuge. And throughout the centuries, nearly two millennia, the church has taken refuge in Jesus. In Jesus, the one in whom we are made acceptable to the Father. The one who died on the cross, not just to demonstrate God's love, but in order that God's love might be extended to us sinners. In order that God's forgiveness might make us clean, and that we might live by the word of God. Paul, as you know, was a persecutor of the church. He said that he was the chief of sinners because he did persecute the church of Jesus Christ, that is the body of Christ. In persecuting the church, Paul was persecuting Christ himself. And I ask you, would the Jesus who on the cross prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, say, I'm going to get that Paul guy, that Saul guy. I'm going to teach him a thing or two. Well, Jesus did get Saul, did get Paul. He ensnared Paul by his grace, his loving kindness, his mercy. And when the Lord appeared to Paul on the road of Damascus in a blinding light and asked Paul, why do you forsake me? I'm sure that Paul, aka Saul, knew he was going to be wiped out. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. Anyway, Paul says that the grace of God in Christ was demonstrated to him, even though he was the chief of sinners, was demonstrated to him as proof, as evidence, as an example of how God forgives sinners. And if God in Christ could forgive someone like Paul, then you and I are shoe-ins. We may not feel like shoe-ins at times. Sometimes we feel like scum. Sometimes we're so ashamed of ourselves, of something we've done, either recently or even years in the past, that we wonder, how could God possibly forgive me? I'm his baptized child, but I sin again and again and again. I fall flat on my face at times. I fail to love the neighbors among whom God has placed me, and what I did surely so shows that I don't love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, might, and strength. How could God possibly forgive me? Paul says in today's epistle, from now on, from this time forth, we in the church regard no one according to the flesh. We don't look at them by ordinary human standards. We don't think that the leaders in the church are more deserving of grace than the lowliest, humblest member of the church. We don't see anyone as outside of the grace of God, anyone as someone who is impossible for God the Holy Spirit to reach through the gospel. Again, Paul would offer himself as proof of that. Paul also goes on to say, even though we, before we believed, once regarded Christ according to the flesh, that is falsely, how could the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, end up on a Roman cross? We regard him thus no longer. We see how necessary, how absolutely essential the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is. Because on that cross, a great exchange occurred. Luther loved that term, the great exchange, and it was kind of hammered into our heads at seminary. If you have the bulletin insert for today, or if you don't, listen to verse 21 from tonight's reading. It's the last verse in the reading. For our sake, God made him, that is Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, that is in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Let me repeat that because it's foundational in the Christian faith. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, even though he was sinless. And in Christ, God has made us the righteousness of God. Do you see the exchange? Do you see the swap taking place? On our side was nothing but sin and death and hell to look forward to. And yet Jesus said, I'll take that sin away. I'll take that death and bear it in my own person. I'll take that condemnation which they justly deserve, and I will be condemned in their place. And they can have my righteousness. They can live eternally by my death. They need never fear going to hell, because I have endured all those things in their place. For our sake, for your sake, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Now, earlier I was talking about the times we're so ashamed, the times we want to kick ourselves in the backside because we have sinned, and maybe guilt, feelings of guilt over sins of the past still plague us. The aborted woman can feel guilt, and frequently does, and wonders how she can be forgiven. It's where Jesus comes in. That's precisely why we need Jesus. Paul says that he portrayed Jesus Christ crucified in his preaching, in his teaching. He says that he resolved to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, he was going to hammer that home and home and home again. He was not going to preach anything else. He was certainly not going to preach himself as someone special and holy and great. Jesus Christ and him crucified for the sins of the world. Have you ever had, you don't need to raise your hand on this, have you ever had a quarrel with someone and you don't patch things up immediately? Sometimes it happens in families and it can go on for years and years and years. There is no reconciliation. There are hard feelings, hurt, anger. Well, that's what was going on between us and God. That was the situation we lived in per God, in relationship to God. Sinners, by nature enemies of God, aliens and outcasts from God. We could not reconcile God to ourselves. How could we possibly do that? Even our attempt to reconcile God to ourselves was bound to end in failure. And what's more, be an insult to the God of all mercy and grace. God had to do it for us. God stepped in and did the reconciling for us. He took the initiative. He did the work. Jesus did the finished work. So again, backtracking some in today's epistle reading, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, probably most of us have some antiques in the house that we really like. We love them. They're beautiful. Maybe they've been passed down for generations in the family. And that's well and good. But the antiques of our former life outside of Christ were thrown into the fire. The antiques, if you will, of our sin and our rebellion against God and our determination to live as though He didn't exist. Those old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come to us. God's mercy, God's love, God's compassion, God's forgiveness, God's salvation, God's redemption, God's justification. All for the sake of Jesus. Paul says, all this is from God and gave us, preachers of the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God did it. Now, true, Paul goes on to say, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In other words, get your stubborn, rebellious self out of the way and say okay, say yes to what God is determined to do. Get out of His way. Your arm's too short to box with God. And you certainly can't kickbox with Him. For your sake, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin, to become sin. What is the sin of which you are most ashamed? Adultery? Christ became the adulterer. Murder. Christ, who was murdered on the cross, became the murderer. Lying, cheating, stealing. Christ became all those things and all the wrath and condemnation that those things and people who commit those things deserve. Jesus willingly took. Gladly, out of love for you and for me. This is why we turn our eyes toward Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. Don't look in the mirror and expect to find salvation there. You'll see, once you peer beneath the mask, nothing but sin and confusion and death and all kinds of yucky stuff that should be hauled off to a toxic landfill. But instead, it was hauled off to the cross, Jesus' cross. And He bore it all. He suffered. He died. He was raised again. And as a consequence, through the great exchange, you have become the righteousness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.